So today's guest is globally renowned makeup artist Kay Montano. She gives us her top tip for makeup success.
To do your makeup in daylight.
Encourages us to try a classic Chanel product applauded by so many.
I would always, always, always use Vita Lumiere. And then, you know, it's got finer and finer and finer. And even, I used to even use it on really, really young girls.
And tells us her favorite Chanel skincare range.
Because of my age, I'm in the Sublimage generation. I love the Sublimage range. It's basically made for women who are sort of, you know, 35 upwards, I would say.
So here she is. Hello and welcome, Kay. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. A huge, huge thank you for coming on the podcast. I can't wait to get stuck into all of your advice because I know that you have tons and tons. But before we get into that, I just wanted to know about your beauty vibe in general and what your beauty cabinet is like at home. Is it full to the brim? Is it total chaos? Is it really streamlined? What is your style?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we've only got so many hours in a day. And I think when you do what I do, every job I do is an audition. So it's not the same as a 9-to-5 job where some days you can come in a little bit, maybe not on top form because the last 364 days of the year, you've been really on it. So you can afford to have an off day. With my job, I have to be absolutely, give my 100% every single time I go to work, which is now why I don't work every day because I can't physically, psychologically do that for every single different client. Like it's an audition every single time. And the reason I mention that is because in my spare time, if I were to be as perfect as I am at work in my spare time, I think I would go completely insane. So, you know, you have to be realistic in life and know where to pick your battles, you know?
Yeah.
So my downtime is about looking after myself and not being perfect, you know, and trying to do the other things in my life that work well for me. So yeah, I have one room where stuff gets thrown.
Just launched into the room.
Basically, yeah, because I, you know, to be fair, I mean, I'm very privileged in the sense that I get lots of stuff sent free because people want me to talk about it on Instagram and things like that. So if I'm in the middle of something and then bags get thrown through the, you know, sent through the door, I haven't got necessarily half an hour to pack that up every single time I get a bag load. Half an hour it's going to take to sort that out.
Yeah.
So it ends up in the room, the dark place.
The dark room full of beauty products.
So yeah. So no, and in a that's a long way of saying no, I'm not that organized. But for my personal beauty, I am quite organized because I'm really into my edits. So I have an edit of stuff on my mantelpiece at home with my favorite skincare, my favorite perfume, and a place where my hair stuff goes. And I've also got that downstairs because I'm always in a rush to go out and I don't want to go up and down the stairs.
Oh, I like that idea. Well, that's very organized.
Well, I don't know. I'm making it sound organized.
But I like it. On the go, very quick. Also having those products that you know just work for you, that you don't have to think about in the morning, that you can throw on and you are good to go.
Exactly. It's all about making the most of the time you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice. So let's get stuck into your 5 pieces of best advice then. And naturally, we need to start with makeup. So tell me, what is your best piece of makeup advice?
My best piece of makeup advice, if I had to say one thing, it would be to do your makeup in daylight. Because that's probably the only way that I can cover as many bases in one point, because it's never one point, but if I had to do one point, it would be to do your makeup in daylight, or at least pick your makeup in daylight, choose the makeup that you're wearing in daylight, as in the foundation and the skin product.
And I guess for color matching as well, that's probably a really important point.
It's vital. Like if I go to work, and often what happens when you go to work, it's very strange. The people that design makeup rooms, the people that actually put them in studios and environments where photographs and filming is done, they'll find the pokiest little room in the whole place.
So it's always about daylight and going to the window and just checking.
Exactly. And that's where you should choose your foundation.
So would you say if you're shopping for a foundation in store as well, to try it on your skin, go outside, have a look in the mirror, see how it feels?
Exactly. You bring a mirror, you try it out in the bottom of your cheek and neck. You go outside and you choose the one that blends seamlessly into your own skin tone.
The one that you can't even really recognize because it's just becoming that second skin.
The one that you can barely recognize. And if you want to look more tan, then do that with the bronzer, do that with the self-tanner well, you know, carefully another time, but don't change your skin tone with foundation. Only experts can do that in very controlled settings for photography.
And find the one that suits you. And what about your favorite foundation formulas and bronzer formulas as well? You mentioned them both. What are your go-tos?
I would always, always, always use Vita Lumiere. The first formulation of Vita Lumiere was actually designed for older, well, mature skins, you know, that lovely term, mature skin, because it was very low in talc. It didn't have lots of talc in it. And over the years, Chanel have formed, you know, they've created many different formulations of Vita Lumiere. And then, you know, it's got finer and finer and finer. And even, I used to even use it on really, really young girls. And I remember Anne Hathaway, when she was younger, would say, oh, I love Vita Lumiere, because she would use a darker one, but just really, really sheer. And like, going back, it's completely contradicting what I said earlier. She would use it as a tinted, she would use it with a moisturizer to tint, slightly tint her face.
Because it was so lightweight and blendable, yeah.
Yeah, and it was creamy. So that's always been one of my go-tos. Chanel are amazing. They bring out so many different foundations. But that's kind of one of the ones that I always go back to, is that formulation, because I just find I really like the colors as well of them.
I love that foundation as well, by the way. It is so good. And it just gives your skin such a glow, but still feels like your skin, which is what I want from a foundation.
Exactly. And then all of the other things afterwards, like, you know, I know a lot of women, some women want to be glowing. Some women want to be matte. There are so many different types of aesthetic, right, that are available now. So I suggest, like, if you prefer a more of a matte finish, then I would suggest using a really good quality loose powder on your T-zone, because cheeks shouldn't be matte. I really don't think cheeks should be matte. That's where the glow comes in. So it's about choosing, like, no, I don't ever want a glowing nostril. I don't want a glowing chin. I always matte the nostrils around
and matte
the nose.
Those areas down. Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't look attractive to have a glowing nose, nostril for some reason. I don't know why, but it but a glowing cheekbone is really beautiful. So it's a T-zone that you can mattify with a fine loose powder. And fine loose powders are the best way to avoid looking chalky and cement-like.
And how about those highlighters that you mentioned for really capturing the high points on your face, so the cheekbones? What are your kind of go-tos for that?
Well, it depends on how your skin looks in the first place. So for instance, if you have very dark skin, if you merely don't powder, if you just don't powder the skin, you will have very, very shiny skin. Like if you're a black girl, your skin will shine a lot more than if you're Caucasian. It's just the way that light hits the skin. So if a black girl, for instance, just doesn't put powder on her cheek will really, really shine. Whereas if you're Caucasian, you've got very fair skin, you're more likely to need to put a product on to get the same effect. So for instance, if your skin is on the matte side, you could use something like, you know, a multi-use, like a glow stick, like Chanel have one called Bomb Essential.
Oh my God. I love that so much.
Yeah.
I use it every day. It's so good.
There you go. It's a great product. And, you know, you can use that to really, really pick up the highlight on your cheekbones or on your eyelids or anywhere really, because that's why it's multi-purpose. It's wonderful for all of it.
So you apply this as a last product and it just gives that really healthy, glossy glow. It doesn't, like, if you're in the light, like you said, outside in daylight makeup, you're not going to tell that is a high shimmer highlighter. It's just glossy and glowy and natural. I love it.
Yeah. It doesn't look like you've got a product. It's not like a sort of, you know, like those gritty.
And would you say the same applies for bronzer? I know you're a fan of the
Universal.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yes, I love it.
It just gives such a good natural glow. Again, kind of more veering towards those creamy textures over anything too powdered.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's such a clever product, that one. It still stands alone, and it's been around for ages. I can't remember it not being around. And they've introduced a darker shade for girls who are darker or want to be darker. I always tend to stick, you know, for my skin tone and for, you know, my paler clients, I tend to use the lighter one. But there's something about the texture of it. It's so user-friendly. And I think for a lot of women, they're frightened of using bronzer. It's impossible to apply it in a way where it goes patchy. It just doesn't go patchy. It's absolutely idiot-proof. And there are very few products like that, you know, that just can't go wrong. So all you need is a good brush and just chuck it on wherever the sun hits you.
And I love the brush as well, that it comes with the Kabuki brush.
The Kabuki brush is lovely.
Yeah, it's so good. And it just, and that, everything you've spoken about as well, I guess the Vitaluminaire, the Balm Essentiel and the bronzer, just gives a really healthy and natural sun-kissed glow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's my dream. That's all I want.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, this really speaks to what we've been talking about, speaks to women who are frightened of bronzer, frightened of products. It's an introduction for them to be able to see that actually this is something that you could do. You don't have to be brilliant at makeup to be able to do this, and you will not look like you've got loads of makeup on.
And let's talk about hair care then. What is your best piece of hair care advice?
It's a tricky one, that, because we've got such different hair. Now, I'm half Caribbean. My father's from Trinidad, so I do not have the same hair as a Caucasian blonde girl. Do you see what I mean? So I think it's a really tricky one, that one, because I can, if everybody had my hair, I would be able to just answer that.
Yeah. And what about for your hair type, and what do you find that really works for you?
What I find works really well for me is to absolutely avoid detergent-based shampoo at all costs. I just cannot use it. I've learned that now. However rich my conditioner is afterwards, if I strip the hair with basically the same ingredient that Fairy Liquid has, it doesn't work for me. So basically, I only ever use shampoos from health food stores. So basically, a lot of people with curly hair, particularly if you've got curly hair and it's long, I've got long curly hair, so it's even the ends are really dry. So I don't even get shampoo at the end. I use a little bit of shampoo at the roots, and I use only shampoo from health food stores with no detergent. I look at the ingredients and I make sure there's no detergent. And then I use Kerastase mask every single time I condition my hair. And I even put castor oil in it. That's how dry my hair is.
Oh, a little bespoke mix. I like it.
Oh yeah. And then every 2 days I have to put almond oil at the end, otherwise my hair literally will—it's become sort of like a husk because it's very long.
And is that just natural almond oil that you pick up in a Whole Foods?
Yeah. Oh. You get it from every single chemist in England. You get these cheap bottles of almond oil because it doesn't have to be the finest grade almond oil for your hair. You're not putting it on your skin. Well, you could put it on your skin. It is just almond oil, but it's about £4.
I love that tip.
Yeah. So where I'm spending a fortune on the Kerastase, I'm saving on the Jasons, which is very cheap.
Yeah. Balance, like it.
And the almond oil and the castor oil, they're both very cheap products.
And in terms of caring for curls, do you have any other tips of kind of day-to-day? Do you like to switch it up from your day-to-day routine to, say, going out routine? Or would you say you stick with what you know?
I do mix it up sometimes. Like, for instance, if I'm really going for something special, I will use heat on my hair occasionally. But because my hair is very delicate, curly hair is more delicate than straight hair. And if you have any sub-Saharan African blood in you, like me, your hair is more delicate and you have to be more careful of using heat. So I can't blow dry my hair on the regular. I can't straighten my hair on the regular. And that's a shame, but that's just the way it is. I would love to be able to blow dry my hair more often because I love it. But if I want to keep my hair long and I don't want it to break all around the edges, I have to avoid heat. But I will, if it's a special occasion, I will get the big, big tongs out and have big curls or straighten it. But it's very rare I do that. So most of the time in the day, I've got my hair in a top knot. Because if I'm on a day off, I'm in the gym and then I'm at home online all afternoon and I don't really see people. And then in the evening, I will pull it down and it's kind of straightened it out if I pull it up into a top knot. So that's my sort of thing.
So what is your best piece of skincare advice?
My best piece of skincare advice is to exfoliate regularly. I think people still find exfoliation as something which is not, I wouldn't call it a fringe thing to do, but it's something that they've heard of, that they know is quite good, but they maybe haven't adopted that into their routine. And I think it's a lot more simple than people might think. Like, what I would say is get a muslin cloth. I believe in daily exfoliation. And by that, I don't mean like in the old days when I was a child, they used to sell us these dreadful scrubs with this really, with really big crumbled stones, basically. They were, they, you know, and they would just, you'd just be sort of rubbing these bits of grit over your skin.
Very abrasive.
Really abrasive, and actually didn't do the job. That just made your skin sore, but they didn't take the top layer off softly. They didn't, not the top layer, but the actual dead skin. So the best way to actually get the layer of dead skin off around, especially around your chin crease and around your nose and cheeks, it can make your skin look very dull. And so often I'm working with people and they'll say, oh, my skin's really dry. I've got this, it's really rough. It's just dead skin. You just haven't exfoliated. So I really suggest every day with whatever cleanser is right for you, depending on your skin type. You know, if you've got very dry skin, maybe you're using an oily cleanser or a, you know, a creamy cleanser. I'm best with a very gentle facial wash every day at night. And then I don't use it in the morning. I just splash my face in the morning. But at night, I will use a muslin cloth with my facial foaming cleanser. And really, really have a nice soft sort of rub around the cheek area and all over my skin, really. And that creates a much smoother texture to my skin and ensures that the dead skin has all gone. And also it stimulates your skin to, you know, produce more cells in the skin.
What are your favorite formulas? Did you say it was the mousse, the Chanel? Is it the cleansing cream?
Oh, maybe? Yes. Well, for me, because of my age, I'm in the sublimage generation. You know, so I love the sublimage range, and it's a really rich sort of, it's much more of a rich skincare line.
And how do you pair that with your kind of evening routine? Do you have any other go-tos that you're loving at the moment?
So my nighttime routine, I like using things like the Hydra Beauty range, because the camellia water, it's called illuminating, but that's because it's got ever such slight light reflecting particles. And it's a very, very, it's almost watery. I mean, yeah, it's a Hydra Beauty range. It's got this lovely, lovely hydrating quality to it. And I put that on my cheeks because I always find it's my cheeks that get a little bit sort of dry. And I like my cheek to be plumped up. And I've also got my makeup kit, because I often find that, you know, people I'm working with, they're long haul flyers, you know, and I've often got to their face after a very long haul flight from the States. That's very typical for me. So I'll use a Hydra Beauty camellia water as a refresher. Yeah.
So it sounds like the same approach that you take with makeup, using, say, a patchwork technique to really focus on the different areas of your face and focus on what they individually need.
That's right. And I think you're right. That's exactly how I go about it, because I'm thinking about what problem needs to be, what, not problem, and these aren't problems, are they? But I'm thinking about what I can improve. And it's never, you know, your eyes might want to be darker, your under eyes might want to be lighter, your cheeks might want to be more glowing, your chin might want to be more matte. Now, you're not going to get one product that's going to change. There's no intelligent product that's going to do all of those things for you. Make your eyes darker, make your under eyes lighter, make your chin more matte, make your cheeks more glowing, you know?
So taking a targeted approach on those, yeah, different areas.
Yeah, it's common sense. It's basically common sense. And I always look at it, I look at anything where there's choice. It's like, I look at it like cooking, you know, you taste it, it's not salty enough, you put a bit more salt in. Something needs to be sweetened, you sweeten it, you know? It's like that. It's a common sense sort of attitude, I think. And that's something obviously that gets better with time. And this is all experience. This is something that, you know, has taken me many years to figure out. I mean, it didn't happen when I was 14, let me tell you. There are many, many ugly incidents along the line. Not ugly, but, you know, big mistakes, should we say.
Well, we do finish the every episode on beauty blunders, so we will come back to those. But let's talk about your fourth piece of advice and talk about treatments then. What is your best piece of advice when it comes to treatments, or the best piece of advice you've ever been given by?
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Anyone else?
Gosh, let me think. I mean, this is obviously, this is very personal, but I mean, I think overall you would say everyone's got an opinion, you see. Every treatment person would have an opinion, and it's not one size fits all. I think it's very, very, very important for each person to figure out what they want to look like and how they want to present themselves. And it's not for somebody else to advise you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know yourself.
You know yourself, and it's there isn't one way of doing anything. And I'm like many makeup artists in my industry, we're all rule breakers. We know that the rules follow us, if you know what I mean, as opposed to the other way around. We don't follow rules. I mean, we create our own rules, I suppose, but that's more about what works and what doesn't work. I mean, when it comes to anything which is semi-permanent, I think you have to be really careful, you know. So if you're doing something like, let's use eyebrows as an example. If you're doing something like threading or plucking, or, you know, in terms of shaping your brows, or if you're doing something semi-permanent, like what do you call those eyebrows? Microblading,
and also the kind of powder brows now as well.
Oh, I don't even know about that one. I think tread very carefully, because the thing is, somebody might be very good. They might be technically good, but you've got to remember there's a difference between aesthetic and technical, being technical. So what I mean by that is someone might be brilliant at threading. Someone might be brilliant at microblading. They might be great at it technically, but what is their taste of eyebrow? Now, when it comes to the shapes of eyebrows and things like that, sometimes people think you can put one eyebrow on everybody, which I find so bizarre, because that's when people look strange. You've got to go with your own eyebrow shape, not get someone else's eyebrow.
And your own personality and how, what works for you.
I love someone like Sophia Loren, who was told by Hollywood, you know, your nose is too long, your chin is too short, this, that, and the other was wrong with her, apparently. But all she did was make the most of it. She just amplified her features, and she became one of the great beauties. But no way was she, you know, the one that fitted the model at all. You know?
Good for her as well. Imagine being told that. You'd be like, no, I'm Sophia Loren.
There's so many interviews of her, but she did that at the beginning. It's not like she did that when she was being told that, you know, because everything's cookie cutter. You know, the world is driven by a cookie cutter mentality until it isn't, until there's a person who goes, no, I'm going to be me. And then they become the new norm, you know?
Absolutely. And they're the people that we should celebrate.
Exactly.
Perfect. So let's move on to fragrance. And what are your fragrances that you kind of tend towards? You've mentioned Chanel No. 5 in the past, and
yes, I love the original. Yeah, I really love I do love the original, I'll be honest. I've got a little bottle of the original No. 5 perfume in that beautiful bottle. That's often my base, you know. I will just tap a tiny bit on. I've got also got ones for the hair. Maybe it needs a bit of a freshen up. I spray it on the roots sometimes.
Oh, I love that idea. Yeah. That's a great idea as well, to use a hair fragrance to kind of amplify your scent. So if you're wearing the Chanel No. 5 body scent, you can incorporate that in the hair, and you're moving your hair all the time. So it's that kind of fresh dose of fragrance whenever you waft around the room, which is a really nice trail to leave.
Exactly.
Amazing. So we end each episode with a bit of a lighthearted note, and we talk about beauty blunders, which you hinted on a little bit earlier. Do you have any funny beauty blunders from the past?
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Do you really want me to tell you?
Absolutely.
I'm so glad that digital imagery did not exist. No one, there's very little proof of me as a teenager in the 80s. Are you kidding me? Could you imagine? I mean, I had white hair, I had fake hair, I had dreadlocks, I had pink hair, used to use white foundation, like pale foundation, because there was no olive foundation for me when I was a child. And I've got olive skin, there was none.
That's crazy.
I was wearing whatever I could find in Boots, because they used to tell us that, you know, if you have olive skin tone, this will change that. But they weren't telling you that you can't put that on your neck and your hands and your whole body. So what are you supposed to have this face that's not olive and then the rest of your body? So, but I just used to think that they knew what they were talking about because you believe in brands and branding. You believe it when you're a child.
Yeah, of course. And you trust them, especially when you're a teenager and you're looking to buy into brands. Of course. That couldn't cater for your, you know, what your skin needs.
So they'd say, oh, your skin's sallow. You need to put this on, you know. So I would change the color of my skin. I thought that my top lip was too big and I should make it smaller. I did all that stuff. I had eyebrows that were overplucked. I had lips that were drawn in the wrong shape for me. I had the wrong color skin base, really powdery. I mean, really bad. I mean, I don't even know where to start with everything that I got wrong. Honestly, any mistake that I've done it.
Oh, but I love that. That's a rite of passage. You've got to do that.
Totally, totally. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't. I certainly wasn't a boring looking teenager, that's for sure. I'm sure I gave lots of people lots of entertainment over the years.
And you were intrigued by beauty from the get-go, right? So you've got to, you know, try those things on.
Exactly, intrigued by image, really, you know, just style and image, yeah.
Yeah, and that has led you on to absolutely amazing things. So
I'd like to think so, I hope so.
It has indeed. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for all of your amazing advice. It was a joy to chat to you. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a lovely day.